How are you doing?
Also, I mean,
Yeah.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone here. Thank you for being here. We'll call the meeting to order. And we have a Pledge of Allegiance normally in the open session. I guess we could go ahead and do it now, and then two times won't matter. So you put a flag up there and help us out. Thank you much. And call it through these rise. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call.
Dean Foreman,
Here.
Roy Brett,
Here.
Aaron McCoy,
Here.
Kevin Brandon.
Here.
Thank you.
Next item is public comment. Is there anyone here from the public that would like to comment to the board for anything that is not on the agenda at this time? All right, thank you. I'm standing because I had surgery Monday and I don't feel like sitting right now. Next is discussion and action agenda item. And I have to say, I'm super happy about this item. The nominating board of myself and Aaron McCoy did some interviewing, and as part of that, you saw in the packet that we have recommended Jean Pagnone to take that role and position. And I want to thank her for being here. She's been a big fan of the school for a long time. And you saw in the information that she even has a child that graduated, and one more that I think graduates this year,
Yep.
this school year, that is.
Yes.
So 26. They're longtime members of the community. They love the mission and vision of the academy, and love what they saw here. Maybe I'll just give you a minute or two, Jean, if you wanted to say anything about this.
About what exactly?
Nothing necessarily. Just want to give you the opportunity to express any feelings you have about the school or about taking this role or position, et cetera.
Well, I think
Last chance to make a run for it.
I noticed the door is open. I think a lot of, well, there are quite a few people here who know me, and if you don't, you will. But both my children started school here 10 years ago, and it was after coming from a different school where they were not challenged and not academically thriving. And to come here and find a place that we basically call home has been wonderful. And I loved the time that I've had here volunteering for everything that I can sign up for and getting to know staff and parents. And this is a real honor to be able to even be considered for a position like this for an institution that I really love.
Thank you. So with that, that's the recommendation of this nominating committee. And so if we could, we'd go ahead and put it to the board to put this forward to a vote, a nomination and a second and a vote.
Well, I would like to nominate Jean as our newest board member.
Thank you.
Here we go.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Roll call.
Dean Foreman,
Yes.
Roy Bratz,
Yes.
Aaron McCoy,
Yes.
Kevin Brandon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We put this at the beginning June, so that you could get the full experience today.
<Day one>.
Ready or not, here we come. But if you wouldn't mind then, and go ahead and stand, and I didn't think about it, but some like to swear on the Bible, but since I don't see one, we can pretend that you have the George Washington Bible there. So, I, Gene Pagnone.
I, Gene Pagnone.
Do solemnly swear to execute the office and duties.
Do solemnly swear to execute the.
I guess you raise your
do
hand.
Do solemnly swear to execute the office and duties.
As trustee of John Adams Academy.
As trustee of John Adams Academy.
Its mission of restoring America's heritage.
Its mission of restoring America's heritage.
By developing servant leaders.
By developing servant leaders.
And to defend the Constitution of the United States.
And to defend the Constitution of the United States.
Of America against all enemies.
Of America against all enemies.
Domestic and foreign, so help me God.
Domestic and foreign, so help me God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. With that, we will go ahead and move into our closed session. We expect to return at about 5. And if I could trouble someone to make sure that I don't have a hardback chair in there, I won't be able to withstand that. So there's a soft chair you could move in there. The report out of closed session is no action was taken. We'll move now into back to our open session. We have the pledge already and the call to order. So we'll go ahead and open up at this point for a public comment for any items that are not on the agenda. And I think we have one card speaker. It looks like Milan Bashir. Okay. So if you could just be aware you have 2 minutes, and there will be a little timer here that you can kind of keep an eye on. But anyway, and if you come over here, that'll be great. Did I pronounce your name correctly or not?
Milan, yes.
Okay, that's good. Right. Sounds very Italian. I like Milano.
Like a city in Italy.
Yeah. Right here.
My apologies. All right. I'll just say. Honorable representatives, board members, and mentors, it's fitting that today we are meeting in Abigail Adams Library. First, I want to briefly update you on where the Scholar Online program stands today and where we're headed. This semester, our focus has been on participation and engagement. We introduced initiatives like Unique Spirit Week, Scavenger Huntosaurus, Scholar Interviews, Scholar Debates, and Global Teams Communication to inspire specific campaigns. With these activities, we are encouraging scholars to take risks. We are pushing them to step out of their comfort zones and engage, because you cannot be a leader if you're made stone. Moreover, I want to talk about why the JNAA program works and why our online program setting is even more unique. John Adams once wrote to Abigail Adams on May 12, 1780, that he must study politics and war so that his sons may have the liberty to study mathematics and philosophy. I look around our program, our curriculum, and I realize we are combining we are sons and daughters he spoke of. We are the generation Adams was dreaming. JNAA Online is doing something like a paradox. We are combining the oldest classical ideals with the modern technology and approaches. And it worked. Because we aren't bound by a traditional schedule or traffic commutes, we have time, more time, to live out these ideals. We have space to pursue dual enrollment and get a head start in our future. We have time for more meaningful, impactful extracurriculars. We can pursue excellence without the burnout of so many high school scholars may face today. Vice President and I, in this room with y'all, is a living example of this. Our online program gives us the flexibility to be leaders, to take college classes, and to be deeply involved with communities we love and respect, all while keeping our sanity. It allows us to be well-rounded humans and not just exhausted machines. Now, we are taking virtue that Adams wrote about, and we are applying it for balance of online education. And the result is students who are grateful, balanced, and ready to lead.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Just by way of information, we now have about 540 online scholars in our online program. So congratulations to Jesse and Bressa. Thank you for all you do. It's working. We appreciate that. All right. Let's see. Comments from the audience that would like to address the board for anything not on the agenda. Now we'll move to the thought of the day.
Well, the thought of the day I have comes from Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think most in this room have heard of this book. I read it last in my late teens. And recently listened to it again with my sons, or much of it, and I realized I have a lot to work on. Dale Carnegie wrote this in the 1930s, in the midst of the Great Depression, and he focuses in on how important interpersonal skills are, even more important, he argues, than technical skills and the knowledge that we learn elsewhere. And it's something that I think, especially since, whether it's COVID or technology, we've moved away from, and have certainly become more and more inward thinking and focused. And I bring attention to this book just because I truly believe it reminds us of simple things we can do interpersonally that will greatly impact our relationships, whether it's at work, our friends, our family members. So tonight, I just thought I would read some of the principles to highlight that were most impactful to me. There are seven of them, so I'll try to be brief. One, give honest and sincere appreciation to others. Two, become genuinely interested in other people. Three, be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. Four, make others feel important and do this sincerely. Five, if you're wrong, admit it quickly and emphatically. I think my husband can attest that I don't always do that. Six, try honestly to see things from the other person's point of view. And seven, be encouraging, praise improvement. The bottom line is what we all know is the golden rule, to treat others as we hope to be treated. It's just a kind recommendation that maybe this is something we implement in our daily lives and even in the classrooms. So thank you.
Thank you for the reminder. That is a classic for sure. And albeit maybe a modern day classic, it's nonetheless a classic.
Yeah.
Thank you for the reminders to use our influence to perhaps be more interested in others than we are in ourselves. The That next item is the PSO update. Each of us in the board packet received that update. If there's any comment regarding the PSO update, I'd like to open it for the board to say so. Otherwise, I'm really happy with what's in there, but any thoughts from the board? Any comments? Next is the facilities update. There were some items that we brought up to the street there on the facilities. Sam, would you touch on those, please?
Yes, sir. Just wanted to talk about the upcoming projects. We started the phase one of the El Dorado Hills Gate project. They came out during Thanksgiving break. For that one, more so the facilities and safety project combined. Phase one dealt with the trimming and clearing and completed the rail base along the fence line. The second part of phase one, before happened during a Christmas break, the gates will be fabricated together and then put up where it'd be mechanical for right now. So phase two, that's when the electrical would come in. And then also, which I don't have on the update, but the upcoming project for Lincoln, as well the AV and Crucible project will be starting in the Christmas break. Any questions?
No, glad that all these things are going forward, especially over the break. That's the time you do them. Yeah, thank you much. Leadership updates. Each of us received those updates. I want to pause and see if there's questions on that. Troy, did you want to update us on anything related to that?
Briefly, first of all, we're open to any question, but I want to highlight something that has happened since our last board meeting, and that is we have a new website. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but there was a lot of work that went into that. I want to thank Emily for leading out in that, Carlos and Crystal, and all of the administrators fed into that. But it's a fresh look, it's clean, it's crisp, and it's quick. We try to measure no more than how many clicks to get things, no more than three clicks to get to anything you're looking for. It's just launched, so I'm sure we'll find ways to continually improve it, but it looks really good. I just encourage everyone to go look at that. As far as, the board's request, we submitted leadership updates on QuickBooks, attendance recovery, and campus safety focus group, which can answer questions. I just want to comment briefly on QuickBooks. I've been able to find more information since I submitted that report, and I'm happy to say 100% of our required texts are being used by all campuses. If it wasn't given as a QuickBook, they are still using it as a class set. So 100% of those books are being used. As far as systems, so we can be proactive for next year, at the beginning of the year, we have our administrators fill out things like, here's our bell schedule, here's our this. We now have a QuickBooks form that they'll fill out and submit. So August, right, to say these are the books that were ordered and we're ready to go. I can speak more about that. That's something I found, and we'd be happy to answer any questions, QuickBooks, recovery, attendance, or campus. For the safety committee.
I have a question, Troy. The campus safety focus group, who, I know you generally describe who are the members, but have they been, who are the official members of them?
I could pull it up, but we have, it's either 15 or 16 members. As far as staff, all of our campus safety leads are on that. We have some administrators, some teachers, and then handpicked parents from each site. I have a list. I could share that with you. At this point, it's a focus group, so it's a gathering group. That ICU is also doing their own assessment, and I talked to him about just a few days ago. He said they're expecting to have a full report ready to go for us for their January board meeting. That report will be their recommendation of a prioritized list for each campus individually. Basically, once we get that list, we can then take that, work with each administration team and say, okay, here's the recommendation. What are we ready to move on and which order and where do we go from here? Did I answer your question? I didn't. Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah.
Also, thank you to all the leaders that have been keeping us informed about your attendance recovery and the use of the automatic independent study. That's a big deal. If you're not using that, you need to use it. As you may recall, the board sat down in a strategic meeting with everybody a few months ago, and we decided that that's a good way to help the scholars and also to help ourselves, and that's low-lying fruit. And so I would encourage you to, if you have not implemented that, maybe you have a better way to improve your attendance, but we are watching that, and we agreed collectively when we met that we would try to move the needle on that by 1%. And in many instances, that's happened. In a few instances, it has not. And that's the way that you can honestly move the needle on your budget as well in an effective and quick way. So please talk to Emily about that. But in January, we would like to have a kind of end of first semester report to the board as to where we stand so that we can see who's implementing it and who's not. Thank you. Next is the financial update.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, welcome, Brooke.
Thank you. I'm just going to do a quick update, mainly on the revenue side of the financials. So the revenue, how it's presented, it's showing a loss of what we expected was 28 million, and we're currently at 24. That's just the way we receive the money. Like at the beginning of the year, we receive less, and then we catch up at the end of the year. Or in February, March time.
Yeah, we don't receive our funds divided by 12. We receive, some months we receive 7%, other months we receive 12, other months we receive 20. And I don't know if there's a lot of rhyme or reason, but yes, that is the reason. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's all I have to make. Did you have any questions?
No, I don't have any. All right.
Thank you.
Next is the update on the 2025 Williams Monitoring Report from the Eldorado Business Campus.
Good evening, everyone. We've had a number of opportunities to touch base on this, but this is a formal report that's required by the provisions of the Williams Act that we bring it and present it formally at a board meeting. You all should have received a copy of the letter we received from the Eldorado County Office of Education. What I would say is we had an exemplary audit with the work done by Heather, Zita, and their respective teams, and us as a group dividing and conquering John Adams Academy, shown through very well, and we represented the Academy in a great way. The county office was very happy with what they saw and frankly expected from us, and deemed our facilities exemplary on that side of the report, and our materials and curriculum were met every standard without exception. This came about, a little bit of background that you have, that came about as a result of a law passed back in 2001 because of some deficient materials and school buildings, et cetera, in the state of California. And so the real purpose of the Williams Act is to ensure that all students across the state have access to great facilities and curriculum and materials, as well as teachers that are credentialed appropriately. And so those are the three categories. The first year that this, because it is relatively new, the first year in Eldorado County, only three schools were flagged as having a potential delinquency or deficiency. This past year, 20 campuses were flagged, and the El Dorado Hills campus happened to be one of those. It was because of our credentialing numbers back in the 22-23 school year. We were above the 15% threshold of not having clear or nearly clear credentials. Doesn't mean that our teachers aren't credentialed, they just have not progressed that far in the process. And so what's interesting about this is we do all this work, collect all of this information, gather these materials and jump through these hoops. But the piece that we were flagged for credentialing is something that's reported to the state consistently. So there's no data collected on that specific in this audit. That happens ongoing all the time. Yet we're held to the standard and we met it very well. The other thing to note is this is a 3-year process. Even if you come back with a report like this in the first year, we're still required to be monitored for the next 2 school years. And so the good news is we'll be well prepared for that next time, because it did take a significant amount of time and effort to pull all this together. So again, kudos to the school staff for being amazing like they are every day.
Questions?
Yeah, thank you. I think I noticed that the report we got from them used the word you did, exemplary or something like that.
Yep.
And so thank you to Heather and Zita for all they did. It's a team effort and we appreciate that. I'm sorry that you have to go through that, because it does detract from what I know you're trying to do, but it once again, the bright light came through and said that we were doing things in an exemplary fashion. So thank you.
Pleasure. Well, congrats to all their work. They made it seem easy, and it wasn't, because we only had about 6 days from the time we were notified that what was due.
Okay. Next item is board announcements. I wanted to just show everyone, this is something that I made note of because it was done by one of our teachers. I think it may have been in an online situation, or it may, I think she also teaches a class part of the time, but this is from, excuse me, Catherine Hood. And she took this theme of the spirit of 76 and she put it in art form. And I wanted everybody to see this, because I didn't even tell her. I don't think she'd be too embarrassed, but I just loved how she pulled art that you see around our schools. And she had some key questions that she was asking them. And you can keep going through this, keep scrolling through it. You'll see, you know, what do you notice? Who's standing and sitting? You know, what details are you seeing? What do you think they felt? These are really insightful ways to, you know, use Socratic inquiry to take these, you know, pieces of art we've seen forever. Here's another one that you can see a battle taking place between the British and the Continental forces. We keep going. Here's Paul Revere's ride. You can see what he's seeing in this scene, and you can see there's so many things in art, because typically they're trying to tell a story of a whole book in one painting. And anyway, as I saw this, I just thought, this is really good. And she did such an amazing job asking the questions. And so thank you to Catherine and to all of our educators. I know everybody does things like this, but this caught my eye because it was in alignment with our theme. So thank you. We'll maybe show just, I think there's 3 or 4 more. You can see just the breadth and depth of what she was doing here in terms of capturing and then telling stories. This one's the von Steuben and what he did for the Continentals and helping Washington take these recruits and make a fighting force of them. So thank you. That's what I wanted to just show is kind of our spirit of 76 theme, and it's happening throughout. Thank you all for doing that. Next, we'll go to the consent agenda. We have items A through I on the consent agenda. If there's any questions, please bring them up. If not, we'll go ahead and entertain a motion to pass the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
And motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. That was unanimous 5-0. We'll go to the discussion action item. I wanted to note that we do have some scholars here, and it's related to item K, which is the overnight field trips for New England band trip and Latin secondary. I wondered if we could move that up to the first item, if the board would be okay with that. Okay.
Thank you. Item there's some four.
Yes. So it's items K and item H. I'd like to move those to the front of the agenda. So go H, K, and then B, C, D, E. So can I have a motion to do that?
I'll make a motion to move items H
and K.
K. Two items A and B.
Right. Second it. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, good. We'll go ahead and discussion of the TPUSA High School Enrichment Program.
As Mike McCoy comes to the floor, I just want to say, as a reminder with everyone, we don't do clubs. We have board-approved enrichment activities, and so this is an amazing opportunity, enrichment opportunity for our scholars. And even though they use the word Club America, we would like to go with Turning Point USA. Club of America is the full name at John Adams Academy. And I'm going to turn the thing over to Mr. McCoy, former administrator, and to Thank you, Will.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having us. And I'm Mike McCoy, as Mr. Hankey's already said, I'm joined here by my son, Jack McCoy, and Jacob Collier. Both are high school scholars from El Dorado Hills. And we're here to just speak about the program and answer any questions that you might have about it. Charlie Kirk frequently said that when discourse ends, violence begins. And in this country, we're rapidly losing the ability to speak to each other and with each other civilly and intelligently. And this is concerning because engaging in informed discussion and debate have always been a critical element of the social and political fiber of this country. There's a long tradition in this country of great debates, and our scholars read and study these debates, everything from slavery to civil rights, the Federalists versus the Anti-Federalists, Lincoln versus Douglas, and on and on. But this tradition, like everything else, needs to be taught and cultivated. It does not just happen organically. And if we do not develop in the next generation the ability to openly converse on the great issues of the day with each other, civilly and intelligently, and with knowledge and skill, we'll further factionalize. And the violence Charlie Kirk warned about and ultimately lost his life at the hands of will take over. So we can't stop talking or debating. And we need to make sure that the servant leaders this school is developing are not mute ones, that they have more than just a deep understanding and appreciation for all that is true and good, but they also have the ability and the courage to jump into the arena and effectively convince others of that truth and goodness.
All right, thank you, Mr. McCoy. So what will help us do that? So several scholars and I at the El Dorado Hills campus believe that the answer is to establish a new enrichment program at the school that is designed to provide us with the skills to keep the talking and debating going just like we do in and out of the classes. And so we are here tonight to seek approval for the establishment of the chapter of Turning Point USA's Club America at John Adams Academy in El Dorado Hills. Turning Point USA, Club America, in an effort to empower the next generation of bold, free-thinking high school leaders with over 1,200 chapters across the country. Club America's mission is to educate the students on the importance of freedom, free markets, and limited governments, while building a strong network of trailblazers ready to lead their schools and communities. Through civic engagement, peer-to-peer education, and student-led activities, Club America chapters spark conversations, engage in informed and nonpartisan debates, and redefine what it means to be a young leader and servant leader in America. During each academic semester, members will work towards a public debate event, which allows them to showcase what they have learned and the debating skills they have acquired through the Club America program. Thank you.
Thank you. Jacob, it is important for the board to know that Club America's mission and goals are strongly aligned with those of John Adams Academy. John Adams Academy's mission statement is to restore America's heritage by developing servant leaders who are keepers and defenders of principles of freedom for which our founding fathers led to lives, fortunes, and sacred honors for. Club America's mission statement is to shape a more free and prosperous future for America by educating young people about the importance of limited government, free markets, and fostering in them respect for the founding principles of our nation. And I think the preamble we wrote for our draft constitution also drives home how much this new enrichment program will help to prepare and develop all of us into servant leaders who take what they've learned at John Adams Academy and jump to the arena of life with it. Prepare to serve and speak out for all that is good and true. Our proposed preamble reads, "We, the scholars of John Adams Academy in El Dorado Hills, California, in order to shape a more free and prosperous future for the United States of America, educate ourselves and our fellow Americans about the importance of limited government, free markets, foster respect for the founding principles of our nation, and encourage sacrificial service for the cause of liberty, to ordain and establish this Constitution of Club America, the John Adams Academy in El Dorado Hills." Thank you very much.
So I have a few questions. Are you okay? Put you on the spot a little here, Mr. McCoy. What about our other campuses? You'd mentioned that we might be able to, since you kind of created the wheel a little bit here, we might be able to help them if they wanted to do something similar. They might be thinking about that. What would you say?
Sure. I would be more than happy if the board is inclined to approve this chapter being opened up at El Dorado Hills. We'd like to use this as sort of the test charter to see how it goes for the first few months. And then I would be happy to help scholars at Lincoln as well as Roseville establish charters here as well at those individual campuses. But I think it might be good, at least for the first few months, for El Dorado Hills to sort of take the lead and make sure that we're establishing this enrichment program in a way that is beneficial for the school, the campus, and ultimately for the entire John Adams Academy system.
Any questions on presentation? You had information in the packet. Any thoughts or questions about that from the board?
Oh, all right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do I have a motion to approve the high school TPUSA high school enrichment program?
I'll make a motion that we approve the TPUSA High School Enrichment Program at El Dorado Hills.
I'll second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That passed 5-0. We'll go to item K, which is the discussion and approval of overnight field trips. New England band trip in 2020.
Okay. I did it for festive this week, so get the pleasure of introducing somebody that we all know and love. And my explanation of what he wants to do will not do it justice. So when Paul brought this to me, it's huge. It's a huge thing, and it scared me a little bit. But if anybody knows Paul, he's relentless and won't stop. And he's a program builder, and I really appreciate that about him. So we finally got it up over here, and so I'm going to turn some time over to Paul to give us details.
Okay, so that is way high quality. That's way over the top. And having to follow Dr. McCoy, I don't know. I'll do my best. All right. So thank you very much for allowing me to be on tonight's agenda to present what I hope will become a biannual event for the John Adams Academy Band Program. Before I make a formal presentation about the New England 2028 trip, I have exciting and important news. For the first time ever at John Adams Academy Lincoln Campus, and it could be for all three campuses and online, John Adams Academy Lincoln Campus will have a member of the Capital Section Middle School Honor Band. Capital Section goes as far south as Manteca and up to Placerville. There were at least 35 middle schools who sent applicants for the Honor Band. Therefore, to have a scholar student be selected is truly an honor. John Adams Academy Lincoln Campus will be represented by 8th grade trumpet player Harper Salisbury. Through this audition process, Harper is considered to be one of the top 15 trumpet players in the entire region. Since the beginning, August 2022, of the band program, Harper has been a band member. She's also a member of the Placer County Youth Orchestra. Her private instructor is Dan McCrossin. Her acceptance gives the school a great level of credibility. We are looking to establish a culture of greatness, if you will, so congratulations to Harper. Now for the New England 2028 trip. Bottom line, the purpose motivating factor for me and my wife, and I want to have complete transparency, Dr. Foreman, is to have another reason for the band scholar to stay at John Adams Academy Band through their high school years. And I do mean John Adams Academy, not just the Lincoln campus. I would like, my wife and I would like to give this opportunity to all three campuses as well as the online scholars. And this would be for 9th grade to 12th grade who are in the campus on the in the band. This is not for anybody that's not on the band. So the idea is to keep the kids in the band program. Since my wife and I began the band program in August 2022, we learned a lot about the John Adams Academy culture. And one of the things that we are learning is attrition is real. Once the scholars reach the 8th grade level, many of our scholars will choose to attend other high schools, and I would like to see that slow down, and in fact, I'd like to see it stop. Having an opportunity like this trip, I think, is very unique. The other high school bands will not be offering this opportunity. I do believe we need to begin, if not emphasize, our school's uniqueness. And let us remember, every RJUHSD high school has a band. As do most of the surrounding areas, Placer and El Dorado counties, they all have high school bands. It is a real struggle for us to keep the kids. When I get a call from Everett, I love Everett, I won't say Everett's last name. Mr. Everett, will you come to West Park and watch the band play? No, I'm busy, I'm at the Lincoln campus. And so I'm being very just upfront. This is the goal for me, is to keep our scholars here. I will not go over the trip in detail because you have the itinerary. It's a beautiful itinerary, they say so. So what I will say, while our son and his family were at the Naval Station Newport, Rhode Island for Officer Development School, Mrs. Everts and I took a trip that is very similar to the New England trip, and I thought this would be a fantastic experience for the band. In the itinerary, you see there will be plenty of opportunities to be at historical sites and learn what happened at those sites. I've also requested a seminar focused on the Revolutionary War at one of the prestigious universities close to Boston, such as Harvard. We'll see how Harvard's doing, such as Harvard. I have also requested a chance to have a performance. And we are going to participate in the oldest 4th of July parade in the nation, that's in Bristol, Rhode Island. Our family attended that parade, and it's like a Norman Rockwell painting. In a New England town, small little town, and all of a sudden, here comes this band in their little patriot uniforms from California, and they'll be like treated like stars. I mean, why would we come 3,400 miles to be in your parade? But I think it'll be awesome for the kids. So, as far as my personal travel experience to ease any minds, it's excellent, and it has been with this company, World Projects. While at the Dublin High School Band Director 2012, they performed in Carnegie Hall and received a Silver Award. Dublin High School Band performed 2014. Chicago Symphony Hall received a Gold Award. 2016, Dublin High School Band performed the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dublin, California's sister city, Bray, Ireland, and also received an Outstanding Marching Band Performance Award. So I'm very confident in this company.
Since my final year at Dublin High School, 2016, World Projects has taken the Dublin High School band on similar trips, and I believe for the second time since 2016, Dublin High School will be returning to Ireland. This type of legacy is what Mrs. Everts and I would like to leave for the John Adams Academy. So I'm able to give the parents this information in January. I hope that we will have your support. It's going to take a lot, about $3,500 per scholar. So we're going to talk two years. And I do they have this too, Dr. Pinky? So I have that proposal telling you how we're going to raise the money, how the chaperone's going to be treated and such. And I'm very humbly so. And I want you to also know, too, that, you know, I have reached out to the other band directors, and I want to make sure that they hear this, too, that they are not obligated to be a part of this. I do not want to put anything on Mr. Grambo's plate or Ms. Henry's plate. They are, of course, invited and encouraged to do it, but I'm not going to wait. And the idea is that, frankly, you know, I say this lovingly, I don't know if we'll have four. I want to take 40 scholars, Dr. Foreman. And to be honest with you, I'm already at 40 scholars in a high school band. But I think combined, we have a good chance to get 40 high school kids between the three campuses and online. So what I'm looking for tonight is a vote of confidence, and let's go ahead and see what happens. I also want to say, too, this is going to be an excellent opportunity to build the parent support. I want to see more parents active on the Lincoln campus. I don't know about the El Royale campus and the Roseville campus, but something like this is going to take parents. Every school has children. The difference is going to be the parents. And so if we can get this there and the parents can get excited and keep their kids on campus, I think it's going to be worth it. So it's going to be a lot of work. So it'll be a nice legacy.
Thank you. Glad Paul's here. I threw him out of retirement a few years ago.
Yeah, I'm retired.
And he's got a lot of passion, as you can tell. I love that. He's even wearing a bow tie tonight in honor
of you.
Of me, you know, thank you.
That's cool.
I tied.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for having the vision.
Yeah.
He's a visionary.
I am.
And he loves to create things and leave behind a legacy of success.
Yeah.
And his biggest, what makes him the happiest, because I see it all the time, is the kids that are going on later in life, and they stay in touch with him and they say, here's what I'm doing, and thanks for having trusted me and having a confidence in me to do this. So thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Latin secondary.
This is great. It would be great to see this many people at every board meeting, huh? Yeah. So thank you very much for allowing us to be here to present the Latin field trip. So Roseville Secondary is excited to put this forward to receive the board's approval if possible. So as it comes to classical education, experiential learning is key. We want to bring that hands-on experience to the child to be able to connect with their learning in the classroom to the real world, especially as it relates to Latin, which is often referred by people as a dead language, right? How do you get kids excited about something that people think is a dead language when it's so critical and important to what we're doing here at Downs Academy? So one of the ways you do that is you create opportunities for them to experience the importance of it and bring the classrooms to life. And so Mr. Bull, who is the lead of our foreign language department, has put together this field trip. He's done it in previous years, and we'd like to continue it because the kids get a lot out of it. And it allows them to understand that there are opportunities in California that we didn't even know existed. A lot of people don't know it exists, of being able to get to the Hearst Castle and what's there, how it connects to the Latin and the Greek cultures. And the same thing with, we've got the Legion of Honor, the Palace of Legion of Honor, which is another opportunity for one of the best museums in the United States. And then who knew that John Steinbeck, the award-winning author, was from Salinas, California? I mean, so there's a lot of gems and opportunities to connect to the learning just right here locally. But it is an overnight trip, and so it does require board approval. And so I would like at this time to invite Mr. Bull, our languages lead, to come up and share a few words about his vision for this trip, why this isn't so important for him and his program, and why we'd like the board's approval. And then we have a few parents and a few scholars that would like to be able to speak. They did fill out comment cards if you need them to be under that kind.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. Discovering what voice I have, we had a rally today, and I went full throat screaming for my kiddos. So, thank you, board, and all in attendance for taking some time to listen. As Mr. Gonzalez eloquently said, Latin is particularly challenged as a language in giving cultural experiences. And every year I've been here, I've tried to fight for something. We've done the Junior Classical League, which is sort of a national organization with their annual meetings. And I've done several field trips. This would actually be our first trip to the Hearst Castle, but trying not to be redundant, we've done what California has. We're not the hotbed of Greek and Roman culture, but we have the Getty Museum, and we have the Rosicrucian Egyptian Museum, which Rome conquered Egypt. And so we've taken them where we can. This would be, I think, maybe one of the crown jewels in that this very nouveau-rich Californian who has a lot of parallels to the Roman riches took all that wealth and gathered statues, monasteries, and entire, you know, the pool of Hadrian, the Roman emperor, and used that as a way of celebrating his understanding of what it meant to be a collector, what it meant to inherit the wealth of these great traditions. So we're going to try to take the kids to experience some of those things and see the museum. And I will do all I can to be protective of kids. I know that they can be very difficult. And I do want to say that I'll take every step to train the chaperones about how we keep them safe, how we overnight can keep our vigil and make sure that no one's leaving the rooms, and all those steps that just bring the kids back to their parents, but hopefully too with a new appreciation of the beauty that we fight so hard as teachers to show kids, because there's talking about things, but there's something else about seeing a villa, about seeing these columns and all the things that riches and taste can do together. So if there are any questions, I'd love to hear them, but otherwise, I'll let other people speak.
I'll just say we're grateful to have you here tonight. And Mr. Bold has been with us since the inception, really, of the school, and he's certainly no wilting violet when it comes to the vision and seeing what can be and taking what should be and making it really something of beauty. So thank you for having the vision for this. It looks really exciting, and I'm sure the scholars have a few things to say, so we'll go ahead and bring them up if that's okay.
Of course.
We have Amy Sorensen.
Yep. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Amy Sorensen, and I've been a parent here at JEA for 12 years, and I'm excited about this field trip. I think it's a great opportunity for my secondary scholars to see and appreciate art and architecture in real life and add to their appreciation of what they've been learning in the classroom.
Hopefully,
more will agree with this.
Thank you. Connor Sorensen.
Hello. My name is Connor Sorensen. I'm an 8th grade Latin scholar. And I think that doing this field trip will really enhance the interest in Latin. I know that there's a lot of scholars in my class who think that we shouldn't do Latin class because they think that Latin is boring. But I think this field trip will change their mind. It will really bring back, it will really revive interest in Latin, and it will showcase the importance that the Latin culture still affects our society today. Thank you.
All right. Does board have any questions regarding the New England band trip or the Latin secondary field trip?
No, he answered the question I had, which was, would we be able to get 40 scholars on board?
Okay.
That was the only question I have for that one.
All right. There's no questions. Chair would entertain a motion.
We have to put these separately, probably. I guess what it says. I'll make a motion to approve the New England band trip in the summer of 2028 and motion to approve the Latin overnight field trip for Roseville Secondary.
Okay, I have a motion.
A second motion.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That carried 5-0. Moving then to back to the top of the discussion and action item B, discussion of approval of updated board bylaws.
Board bylaws, we've got a chance to look at them, read them. Of note, we changed the name of Board of Directors to Board of Trustees. We've given there's some flexibility on regular board meeting or the regular annual board meeting. There's flexibility on when that could be. I don't know if there's any other questions in there that you know, got a chance to look at that.
One thing you may have noted is that we're going in the bylaws to 3-year terms. What? And the
part of the city.
Did you read it?
Yeah, and the idea is so that we can not have quite as many going in 1 year in the event that there needs to be any changes, that it can kind of stagger things a little better. And that's the thought. In the early days of America, the school boards, that's what they used to, were 3-year terms. I know that some of the public entities are 4-year terms, but we're going to go at least, you know, what's been presented here, the possibilities of 3-year term, which is what was originally done in New England at the time when they first did the school boards. Any questions? If not, entertain a motion for that.
I'll make a motion that we approve the updated John Adams Academy Board of Trustee bylaws.
I'll second it.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That passed 5-0. Next is approval of term renewal for Board of Trustee Aaron McCoy.
This is a 3-year renewal now.
Yeah.
Should have done it before.
Yes.
Does this mean you've been here 2 years?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Yeah. Look at that. 3 years. Yeah. Like, wait a second. If you've been here 2 years, that means I've been here for like 27.
So are you? Are you okay with staying on the board?
To put you on the spot.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right.
Well, who's warm?
All right. Thank you. So you heard it from her. She was willing to sign up for the 3-year term.
All right.
Okay.
I'll make a motion. We approve the term renewal for Board of Trustee member Aaron McCoy for an additional term.
I will second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That's carried 5-0. Discussion and reappointment of officers. This is the time when we appoint officers under the bylaws. Do you want to say anything about that? Okay. So right now, I think the way that it had been when the I'm the board chair and chief officer of the board. Then we had a vice president, and it was Tricia.
Vice chair?
Vice chair. Yeah. And then we had a secretary, which I think was Brandon, is that correct? And
I think they're asking to, I think we, some time ago, we made me the treasurer, but I guess the bylaws don't change. So this is going to also update the bylaws So that's not a chief financial officer, but it's going to be treasurer.
Yes.
And then we need to elect a new treasurer, which I'm happy to stay as treasurer if that's what you like, or we can change it, whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm really happy not to be chief financial officer. We'll change that at the top of this
thing. It's already changed with the bylaws.
It's just at the top of our, at the very top of this of the agenda, it says chief financial officer.
At the start of this meeting, you were. That's right.
There used to be a time. I was signing our tax returns for a year
right now.
Yeah.
You know, as chief financial officer, before we had a CPA and an actual chief financial officer, what kind of liability that placed me in.
Well, okay, not a lot. I don't think we had any lawsuits, so you must have done okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. So the board bylaws that we just passed do winnow down the duties of the treasurer and put them on the duties of Academica and our accounting team there.
I like the sound of that.
So with that, what I wanted to ask is the current positions that everyone's assuming, and there still is a vacancy, though, of the vice chair. And also, we do have a chaplain, and it's Tamara Bennett. She's technically on our board as well as our chaplain. And I think we should continue to have her serve in that role unless someone feels otherwise. So I'll open it up to the rest of you in terms of, do you have any particular position you'd like to, that you think you're suited, well suited for, with regards to this, or if not, I might suggest that Aaron, you consider taking the vice chair position going forward, which Tricia did. My only concern is it might be hard to do that if you're doing it via Zoom. I don't know if that's kind of convenient for you. I know from time to time it might be a little bit difficult. I don't know that it would happen very often. It's usually I'm here, but that's the only downside of it.
Yeah, and you suppose it's all I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say if we knew ahead of time that you weren't going to be here, Dr. Foreman, then maybe Aaron could make a point of being here in person on those rare occasions.
Okay.
I know the other occasion that pops up is in the past. I know you've had to leave the board meeting early. You know, it's just a long board meeting and you have a thing that you have to leave.
Yeah.
And Trish's been able to, you know, she steps in and handles the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's going to be a little bit more undecided. You know, we won't know those ahead of time, but I think you can handle it over Zoom. I mean, that's fine. Yeah. Okay. You're gonna have
your confidence.
I know you. So I'm not afraid. Yeah. As long as I don't care.
Yeah.
How's our newest board member doing? She want to be vice chair.
I think Aaron would be perfect. That sounds like it.
Okay. So if the board is in agreement, if we kept things the way they are with the one change of Aaron going as vice chair, can I get a motion to that effect?
So I'll make a motion to approve Aaron McCoy to the position of vice chair and myself, Roy Broth, to the position of treasurer.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That carried 5-0. Next, we'll go to the discussion and approval of the 24-25 audit.
All right. We recently completed the audit and actually just today received the full audit back from the audit firm that we worked with on this. The complete audit is in the materials. Just as a wrap up, there on compliance for state and federal accounting, there were no findings on the audit. So it ended up being a clean audit.
There was one finding on financial statements. That particular finding was based on the time that it was taking to close out financial statements to be ready for the auditors to work off of. This was a finding that is uncovered the last several years worth of audits, including this one, that during the auditors come back with a lot of questions and things that they want looked into, and the timing of getting information back made it difficult to hit the close period for the audit. They also described that the volume of the revisions that were coming back, that they were frequent revisions in the responses going back. So a response would go to the auditors, then get revised, and a new one sent at another period, which then delayed some of the audit procedures because they had to go back through again with, you know, new things. So the cause was that the financial close and review procedures were not adequate to detect the financial statement misstatements in a timely manner. So they felt that the close procedure for closing out the annual books was drawn out to the point where it would be hard to catch misstatements within the financial statements. Within that, there were no costs that were questioned or transactions that were questioned, as all the questions that the auditors had were answered. So the finding was based on timeliness of things going back to the audit firm. On our side, the resolution for this and the action taken over the last 2 months, we have reconstituted our accounting team here in California. We've changed personnel out of positions and elevated some other personnel. The accounting team is working directly with our CFO out of our corporate office at this point. And in the last 2 months, the month-end closes have been completed within the first week of each month, which is a small miracle, which is great, and we expect that to continue. So I don't think we're necessarily surprised with the finding. I think we saw that coming because they were looking at the last 3 years in this audit. But it seems that the corrective action and personnel changes have corrected that at this point. That'll be our expectation going forward. The action tonight is to approve the audit that we need to send in for compliance. And then we'd be happy to answer any questions if you guys have.
Okay, do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the 2024 2025 audit.
I'll second the motion.
And motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That passed 5-0. Next is discussion approval of first interim budget.
I'll take this one as well. So the interim budget, we're required to submit a few budgets throughout the year. As we get into the year, obviously things change as far as student counts and revenue and that. So this is up for action, needs to be approved tonight, a interim budget to send in to the authorizers. In the materials, you'll see that there's a consolidated budget here. There's five columns of data in there. The first four are the different campuses, including online in the fourth column. Fifth column is a total, which the fifth column is the proposed interim budget to send in. A couple of things to note on this budget. The projected rate, well, the whole budget overall where this is derived is that we went through the current performance in this school year up to this point and projected out that if we continue revenue levels and expense levels as they currently are, this interim budget represents a projection of where we'll finish the year. Beyond the budget, there may be additional changes to expense levels and things like that. If student count goes up, of course, revenue goes up. But in the budget, this represents a projection of where we're going in the year in our current trajectory. So the revenue line item
is a bit down based on lower average daily attendance than we had budgeted for in a few campuses. So we've adjusted the revenue level based on the scholars that we have at this point. There's also in certificated salaries and classified salaries, there's a line item in each that is called vacant positions. Principals have done a great job of consolidating some classes and finding savings in not filling positions that don't have to be filled. The savings in those vacant positions and the associated benefits, it's about $1.7 million in savings. So they've done awesome in bringing down some of those levels. You will notice on the second page, when we get down to total net revenue near the bottom, the total net revenue is the projected cash position. This particular interim budget, again, is a projection of current expense levels, projects a deficit of $39,000 at the end of the year at our current levels. Hopefully, as we go forward, we can find some additional savings to write that. Underneath the cash position level, there are several budgets that we moved down underneath the net revenue section, which is depreciation, reserve, and capital improvements. These are non-cash budget categories, so they don't actually take away from the cash. If we include all of those, the end would be a $2.7 million loss in the next audit. However, the reserve number that's there, which is $931,000, would not appear in an audit because it's a reserve. So there doesn't actually need to be a budget item for this, but it's something that we want to have in a budget. And the capital improvements and maintenance budget, we put that below the line because given the fact that it's basically a cash break-even budget this year, we would try to not have any capital expenditures this year and try and have a healthier budget next year to re-improve that budget category. So that's the projected budget. Question to you. All right.
I don't have any questions other than what I said earlier about paying attention to the attendance and independent study program for those that are going to be out of town and so forth. But thank you to the leaders for looking at their budgets and making adjustments as needed. And any other questions by the board? A motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the first interim budget.
I'll second the motion.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That passed 5-0. Next, we'll go to the approval of the 2026-27 Academy calendar.
So this item included in your packets. Based on our feedback from last year, which we did a more kind of extensive calendar survey that I was able to join Aaron and Roy for, I generated two similar calendars and requested feedback from all of our stakeholders. So that was the families and the staff members. I included survey results here. So 60%, actually it ended up being more by the time I crafted it, I think on the what I included in the package, like 62% of our community would like option one, which was basically our exact same calendar as this year. And we had some comments to the effect of, why are we just doing 1 year at a time? Let's do 3 years. So I think people are ready for some stability. I provided an option two, which sort of started the year just a couple days earlier and gave a couple days afterward. Option three, provided, I generated this option after having a follow-up meeting with the administrators in which it was expressed by the principal that they would like some flexibility. They would request that although our major breaks are the same, that they might be able to move some of our staff development days that are throughout the year to place that might work for their campus. What I did on option three was I identified a day, January 6th, I colored it for color. That would be a flex day for them. So they could either hold PD that day as it designates, or they could bring the scholars back to school one day earlier from Christmas break and use that staff day at another time of their choosing. Our recommendation would be that the two principals of a site would work together so that for parents, in terms of pickup and drop off, they would agree if they're going to move that date to another time. But I think that in the past, John Adams Academies across the campuses has had all of the same days off. And so I was recommending, if we're going to give some flexibility, maybe try it with one day. That being said, if you, the board, would prefer everything to all be the same, option one is our nation, given the feedback from sacred groups.
You must have so, yes, the option three, that request from administrators, that doesn't impact the family at all.
Well, so it would be, instead of coming back from winter break on Thursday, January 7th, the administrators could choose to have the scholars come back on Wednesday, January 6th, and then instead take off another day, like maybe a day in March or another day in February. They move that exact day to a different time. And it could be earlier in the year, just say for a second. So it may be, and as an administrator in other organizations, I had some latitude to do that. The purpose of doing it would be that there might be a particular purpose for something at a campus where they'd say, you know, oh, we have simulation day coming up. It would really help us actually if we had a day to all plan together. I'd rather take a day off in February than in January. But this is particular to our campus, so we'd rather have that. So it would be the administrator's choice. And then what if you were to approve this option, what we would do is have them choose which day they'd like to move it to, and then that would go out in the communication to families before the school year starts, just like we always do. It wouldn't be like, take it at any time. But so that way they would have a little bit of an option to say like, oh, well, after we do our second in-house benchmark testing, we'd really like to have a day off of the staff to look at the results so that we can see where our scholars are at. It could be for any reason that they'd like. So,
so the bottom line is option three.
Option,
basically like the
option three is basically option one, but with one sort of floater day.
In which the principals requested.
They did. Have that. Let me know if I'm getting it right. Yeah.
Yeah. I would just say that the principals requested
even
flexibility,
more
and this is like a baby step toward flexibility.
Or baby step. Yeah.
Yeah. Baby steps.
Yes.
I'm just going to ask a question. We've got one day, what about 2 days if they were to come back on the 4th?
Fine with the administrators having more flexibility.
Well, I have another question. So Easter in 27 is on the 28th of March. So
yes.
Traditionally, we would have break that week with Easter.
Mm-hmm.
This time it's different.
Yes.
So what's the thinking behind that?
With Easter being so early, the thinking was just moving it a little bit later in the semester. We have about 30 school districts represented amongst ours. So I actually went to many of our local districts and looked. And we, some are before, some are after. John Adams has often done it before, but not always. And then I also looked at our survey results from last year. We asked people, like, would you rather have the week before or the week after? Or pick the same week every year, and it's like a mid-semester. We just figure out whenever the middle, second semester is and do it, irrespective of Easter. And our survey results were about a third, a third, and a third. Like people were, most of the comments were, well, I'd like it to align with Folsom Cordova or Roseville Joint or Western Placer. We just represent so many school districts. Unfortunately, we can't align either first days, last days, or some of our breaks, except for something like the Thanksgiving. So I picked one.
Yeah,
but if you're
I will say we whether we do it before or after, we've always kept Good Friday and Easter Monday the most school day.
Right, and I very much appreciate that. I think when I looked at the survey briefly, but then I realized I didn't have a scholar coming back, so I did not indulge in filling it out. But I don't recall, did you indicate on the survey that so the parents knew that Easter break?
There were several pictures of all three of these on the
right.
Sorry, there are pictures of two option breakage.
Yeah, because I wonder how many parents realized that
this is a change. We've never done this before. It's always been the week before.
Right. And so my concern a little bit is just that if a parent hadn't actually looked into when Easter Sunday was, they're just assuming that this calendar reflects it. So I was just curious if that was there.
I think if that's a concern, I am fine with we can move it to the prior week so that it's the same. Like right now it's reflecting Good Friday's off and it's the week after. We could flip it back to where it was, where it's the week before that's off, and then Easter Monday. But it's the same number of
days. Right.
So
I don't know, it's just a question out of curiosity.
Sure.
And just in terms of what parents would actually prefer, or I mean what everyone would prefer. I mean, I get that you can't make everybody happy, but I think this might throw parents off because it's I've never seen it this way.
To approve option one or three with the revision of moving the Easter week of the telephone. If that's something.
I don't know
what
the rest of the board needs to
do. Yeah.
You said Easter's on the 28th.
I don't either, but it's hard. I mean, honestly too, I didn't realize it was on the 28th until I was reading through the comments, and I saw I think two people mm-hmm. had indicated that, but which made me go back and say we
do any of the principals or administrators in the audience have any thoughts on them?
We prefer the consistency of keeping what we're going to done. We also use the pattern when we get back information so that we start prepping the task. So having a little earlier. And then the other advantage of having it earlier, it's a long haul from January to Easter break. And the capital of this center is actually nice.
There are some teachers.
I like what Ziva said. I think it's good to have it earlier, get them to a break that's a little more centered, and give the back end of it for those few things you're talking about.
Well, I agree with that as well. We do have Martin Luther King in January, and we have President's Day in February. It gives us a day there, and then if we go the week before Easter, we have hardly anything else in April and May, which April and May are heavy. And so, while I'm flexible, there's just another side to it. With the songs, we can be well agreed.
Mm-hmm.
So Danielle, you also like at the end. You prefer it at the end, written of the yes.
I just don't want to change it every year because I don't know where it is 2 years from now. If now spring break is like first week of April, then what are we changing it again? I prefer consistency and our families like that predictability, so I can plan it.
And so for your
with Easter moves, so there's inherent inconsistency if you're following Easter. If you choose that option of like, we always do it the fourth week in March or something, then it would never move, but it would be inconvenient from traveling for the holidays. So I agree with it. I value consistency as well. So
I prefer the consistency, and especially because I know this is what parents prefer, but my other concern might be too, if Roseville Joint, for example, has the traditional week before Easter off, and you have parents who have their kids there as well, and they want to enjoy vacation time, will they end up taking their kids out also to accommodate that extra time that they already have with their kids from the school? I think that would be something that would be a concern.
So the thing, you're just, then we would really have to have flexibility because Western Foster doesn't have the same as Roseville and Edie. And so I don't know what's out there at BH.
I mean, we have both in Cordova and El Dorado.
So like then we're all three on different ones.
I did look up like seven different districts calendars when it's so it's always like every year I'm like, calendars is so easy.
Karen brought up something. She said, what if we just agreed to always have Good Friday and Easter Monday, that Monday off? And then spring break is the fourth Friday or week in March or something like that. That way it's consistent. But then those 2 days have to come back somewhere in winter as well. Maybe that's the 4th and 5th of January. I don't know. But like if we're consistent with Easter break being Friday and Monday, and that never changes, that's consistency too. We're never going to make everybody happy.
We're not going to make everyone happy, but I'm also of the opinion that if it's not, let's not reinvent the wheel. I mean, we've been doing this, and it's always been consistently the same. And I think, I personally think that most parents did not look at the date when they filled out that survey and thought, oh, I'm going to be having the week fall. I think probably some of them did, obviously, but
most of them assume this is staying the same.
I would just chime in that, yeah, they're looking for consistency. For me, the consistency built like around the holidays, right? Because people are going to travel together. And if we pick a specific set date and Easter is always moving, then we're going to lose people on those dates. They're going to travel on that Friday, they're going to travel on that Monday, we're going to lose that 88. And so if we have that consistency of always being either the week before or the week after, whatever, but protect that Good Friday and that Monday, I think we'll capture more ADA, we'll have actually more people plug in because they're going to leave anyway. So if we wanted to do that week before and that's consistent no matter when Easter falls on the calendar, I'm fine with that, right? Because then they know it's always the week before or it's always the week after. But I'm not a fan of saying it's always going to be the third week of March or it's sort of overly.
No, I'm not either.
Right, because then Easter is always going to move and people are going to leave and not be here for school.
Well, I mentioned that Roseville Joint also takes President's Week. Well, they also have an SMG really.
I think they get out the first game of the first week of June. Well, my own opinion is we just keep it what we always have, just the week prior to Easter.
I agree that a lot of parents looking at the survey assume that that might be the case of what's happened.
That's fair.
Because that's the way it's always been.
So I'm hearing we revise it to the week prior, like switch it back to how it was before, and so have the week prior to Easter, maintain Easter Monday. What are the board's thoughts regarding a flexible staff day? Or
what's the idea behind it?
I think it's just offering more freedom, flexibility to state administrators, which professional development days we would like.
Well, I know we've done professional development days. Is it a professional development day, or is it just a day to be on for the time? I don't know.
It's a work day. So it would be a professional development day. And right now, the day I'm proposing this could move around. We currently have sort of 3 days back for the staff when they get prior to the scholars coming back. I'm saying they could take 2 days instead, and then that third one, instead of prepping for January, maybe they want to prep for CAS, prep for something else, or take another time.
Just as an
maybe
example.
They're flexibility.
So just as an example, when we were talking about calendar, I had brought up, gosh, it would be really great if we had additional time for parent-teacher conferences, because for secondary, there's only one parent-teacher conference day of the entire year. And it's in the beginning of the year. And I'm saying, is there any way we can build in an extra day for parent-teacher conferences in the second half of the year? And so as we started talking about things like that and different needs started coming up at different sites, then we started saying, well, what if we just gave individual sites the ability to determine what they did with certain days? And so if we had the consistent vacation times, school closure times, we had the consistent start and end times. But then within the calendar year, we had a little bit of flexibility for sites to say, yeah, we want to be able to move this day to this day. And instead of being close this day, we're going to be doing this thing. We're trying to figure out how we can meet the needs of our individual communities. And so this was kind of like a compromise between the various things that people were asking for, rather than trying to build a calendar that would try to serve all needs, saying we're not going to make everybody happy. So what if we at least start with giving you guys a day or two that you can use according to what your community says? That's kind of where the conversation was spinning up to that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
All right.
Go ahead, motion.
I'm just a little bit foggy on the, are we doing a revision or do we want to do a revision on this Easter?
Sounds like Easter to begin before Easter.
The tradition, what it's been traditionally. Okay.
Whether we approve option one or three, we're going to move Easter. Right.
Sounds like a bit silly. So, again, to the principals, is that what you're talking about with consistency? Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, I will make a motion to approve option three. With the
Eastern
vacation provision.
Second. Any motion? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That passed 5-0.
Have baby steps.
What's that?
They have their baby steps to learn flexibility.
Next is discussion and approval of new graduation requirement.
This past summer, the California Assembly passed a bill adding personal finance as a graduation requirement to a high school graduate. Johnson County has always had a strong personal finance strand. We taught it personal finance in our economics. So we do it a personal finance strand and an economics where they're looking at everything from the radicals like Marx to the pre-market to conservative liberal and Austrian economic, everyone in between. This bill would make it so that we bring personal finance out and make it its own class. It's just, it would be kind of a standalone class that's at least one semester long. Our schools would choose to develop to offer this course as a standalone in-person course, or if they wanted to continue using our the course that we're using in economics, it would be an independent study course. We currently use the Dave Ramsey course. With some other material in that, but schools could choose whether to do it as an in-person or an in-person study, but it would become a standalone course that is marked so on their own scholar transcripts.
Again, this is a state requirement that we're being hit with? It's not?
Yes, the state is requiring this for graduates that graduate in 2031, so it'll start for next year's freshman.
They should require a finance class for the state legislature. They should start immediately. Not 31, but right away.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that. We like you.
Yep.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Okay. Well, there you have it.
I'm happy that anything or answered the question.
One thing I would say is that at the outset of doing the academy, one of the primary reasons was we wanted to as the objective of John Adams Academy Charter was to make them more fiscally aware and responsible as citizens of our finances. So this is totally in alignment with what we're doing now. They're just making us put it in there, but we have already had a strong course, but maybe this gives us a chance to make it even better. And so as we think about this, I'd like to know how to make it better and to make sure that we're preparing these young citizens to become independent, financially independent, so that they can be successful their whole lives and not be subject to bondage, debt, and other things. All right, mm-hmm. Motion.
Just a quick question. It'll be introduced to the incoming freshmen this next year, but could other classes be, what grade level?
Yes, principals could institute this whenever they would like as far as offering the course, but it's not gonna be required until the class of 2031. In our internal policy, whenever we pass a new graduation requirement, it doesn't apply to anyone currently in the program. Anyone currently in the program or grandfathered, it has to begin with the new freshman course class. Mm-hmm. I will also just to know, some of you may remember, we passed a personal finance curriculum about 3 months ago, but that curriculum was designed as an elective course that's being offered online. I'm not sure if anyone else is offering that. That course was not with the full, the state required personal finance. That course was not designed to meet all the needs that this course will meet. So we'll be bringing a new curriculum. And I like what you're saying, Dr. Foreman. It's a huge opportunity to make a better to you for approval in the next. And that's 4 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. Motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the graduation requirement in the personal finance for all campuses.
I'll second it.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That carries 5-0. Next item is discussion on approval of curriculum. Lap, Math 7, Math 8, Algebra 1, Geometry, Algebra 2 on all campuses.
We could piecemeal this in Latin and in Math, or we could hit all at once to do a preference, or maybe I'll just launch into Latin. You guys can
do it all at once.
Okay.
Okay.
Latin. So I want to share with the board with the approval of the math, and Latin is a special focus for us in terms of language. Basically, at this point, we'll have board approved all the required credits at high school, the required credits. We still have advanced math, advanced science, advanced language. There's several advanced courses, or some spin-offs like Spanish 1 and 2, or we've got some different courses like that, which have not yet got board approval, but all of the main required courses would be done. Latin. We have before you a recommendation for grades 7 through Latin 1, 2, 3, 4. In this, it has all of the elements of a required text, both a textbook and classical readings. We also have elements of basic books of grammar and memoria as a classical tradition for all four. The textbooks being presented are currently being used at all campus, so it's not a new thing. Most of our anyway, so we can answer that, but this does provide a little bit of guidance and standardization, if you will, from campus to campus and what's being taught, what's being memorized, the classics that are being read. I think it's a good program. There has been input from all of our Latin teachers and academic deans. They work together on this, and it is what we're presenting as a recommendation for Latin. As far as, I don't know if I go in more middle school, we offer Latin in middle school. The way our Latin is designed in middle school is that scholars who can show mastery by the end of the eighth grade can carry that with them to the high school. And then if they can continue to pursue that in the high school, they go in line for second year.
So are we presenting this as all whole? Or as
oh, gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah.
Latin. Any question to Latin?
No.
Okay.
Thank you for them collaborating and doing that. Yeah.
Thank you. And I forgot to mention Dr. Schultes is online as well. He was the committee chair. And so if you have any questions for him or whatever, he's ready to go. Mathematics. This presentation is for grades 7 through algebra 2. There's really a couple pieces to this, or three pieces to this. One, we are recommending Envision be used as a high school text. All schools are currently using Envision, so this isn't new for these classes. We have, though, given what I hope is this is our first phase of direction on, in addition to the text, we have some classical readings that we've identified per subject. We've also recommended some supplemental readings that teachers can draw from. And we've started providing teacher resources where they can go get the historical, philosophic, or biographic resources to help them teach more classically in the classroom. That's for the high school. Middle school, two of our, so Eldred Hills started piloting Envision in the middle school a couple of years ago. And Z will probably get more on this, but I would say primarily because when we initially adopted Singapore Math, it was in elementary through fifth grade, first grade 6 through 8, we were using a different Singapore Math called Dimensions. I think mathematics is the program we like the best. And we knew that they would grow 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. It's been very slow. It took them, you know, probably what, 4 or 5 years to produce their 6th grade text, which we started using this year. It's going to be a long time before they get a 7th and 8th grade. The resources of Dimensions mathematics the resources aren't very good, and especially electronic resources. Dimensions just doesn't have a lot of electronic resources. Because we're already using Envision in high school, this gives us a scope and sequence from grade 7 all the way through high school. It's comprehensive, there isn't gaps. It provides, if you will, a spine. We were recommending to move just to Envision for grade 7. I don't know if we'll ever come back to Singapore Math. That's a discussion we've talked to in the future. And I'll say we have a challenge with middle school entering Singapore Math. It's nice when you have elementary scholars learning a different way and thought. But the moment you get 7th grade, we have an infusion of new scholars. We expand grade offerings. We'll get a third of our scholars, at least 30 to 40%, have never been within a John Adams Academy. And all of a sudden, they're trying to do middle school math, and they don't have the years behind them that our other elementary scholars have. And so now what we're doing is we start with Envision, we can prep them for the higher math there. We are also, so that's the textbooks. We are also asking to adopt some new standards for the high school program. These are Archimedes, it's called Archimedes Standards. It's being promoted by the National Association of Schools and the Freedom in Education. This is a movement that a lot of classical schools are getting behind. It was chaired by a professor at Hillsdale College to, in effect, basically look at state standards and Common Core standards and say, enough's enough. It's time to get serious about mathematics. It's time to strengthen our and be simple. I like the example in the beginning, where it compares a Common Core standard to a standard in here. The zoning board standard you'll see is like six sentences of that are very, very difficult to understand. If you're not a math teacher, it makes no sense. But these standards are clear, they're concise, and they're challenging. The other part to this is they add a mathematical history element and philosophy, and they also look at the development of mathematics through time. It's built into the standards. Dr. Schultheis has done a review of these. He says they meet every single we already have California standards embedded in. I guess if there's anything missing here, we just say California standards still apply. But Dr. Schultheis looked at these and said all the state standards are found in here. They're just they've been moved up a level. Dr. Schultheis, is there anything else? Am I missing anything?
Only the texts themselves do cover all of California's standards or the Common Core standards for math. So every time you go into a lesson in a revision text, it's linked to a standard. So that's one of the other reasons why we didn't want to list all the California standards in there, because the book has been designed to meet all those standards. One other thing, as far as high school, Dr. Henke has suggested is for Algebra 1, Geometry and Algebra 2. We are still doing Book 1 of Euclid for Geometry as well. And for our regular classes, so honors classes can still choose more classical texts if they choose. And this is not extending into pre-calculus or calculus classes. We are not recommending any texts for those two classes yet.
I have a copy of the learning standards here. It'd be like a hard copy to look at. I've got three. I can get more if you like them.
I was thrilled to be adopted that or recommended to adopt it, because it's so much clearer. I don't know. We have two leaders here that are kind of math oriented. Zita, Danielle, I don't know, thoughts about this?
About our meetings, or mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to look at them.
Okay.
I mean,
these standards do go down to elementary, but at this point, we're just suggesting, because we paired them with the high school text, that we keep them about for the high school. We're not ready to make that for the elementary yet. We've already had a lot of change and wait.
Yeah.
How are things going? I know that you did some changes this year with scholars doing math every day. Can you talk about that just for a second? Remind me what you're doing, Zita, in terms of the secondary and exposure to math every day.
Yeah, so middle school level, it hasn't changed too much from just making sure that they get on that minimum day. We had to have math every other day previously, but we changed our Friday schedule so that they always have math on Fridays, so 5 days a week. And then for our high schoolers, because we're on a block schedule, the AD, they were on getting math every other day. So the teachers are trying to cram two lessons into one day, just what's not happening. So we doubled down on math and changed our schedules, but we have four periods a day, and that allows them to have math every day. So they are really getting double time in math. And then we also adopted some of the building thinking classroom techniques that we learned for our training over the last couple of years. And so we use something called vertical whiteboards. So we've covered the walls with whiteboards, so the kids get up in randomized groups and they do math on boards. And it's a lot easier for the teacher to keep them accountable and see what they're doing and provide help as needed. We've also, instead of having SPED aides, we have intervention teachers, and they're more like co-teachers in the classroom. So instead of doing more pull-out, we're doing more push-in. And they're teachers that help all of the kids, not just the special ed kids. And that has really helped with taking away the stigma, you know, that those kids feel, because that person, that second teacher in there is helping all of the kids. So just having two teachers in the room supporting all the kids during that vertical board work time has been great.
So the kids really love it. They love working together. They are talking about math with each other and helping each other out. So it's really changed the dynamic of what math is like, math instruction is like at our school. So hoping for good results. We won't know for a while, but so far it's going really well.
Good. Thank you. And thank you for bringing this forward, because I think if you look at this, I'd be surprised if you didn't like it, but I'd be curious to know what you think after you look at it. This Archimedes standard is really, I'm hoping, will be the, and they are pushing, like Troy said, to make this the standard of classical schools. So it's a strong program. Thank you. I don't have any other questions. Anybody else?
No, but I would like to thank Dr. Hanke for answering all the questions that I had earlier today. It's a very nice conversation regarding all of that.
Good. Have a motion.
I will make a motion to approve the secondary curriculum for Latin and the secondary curriculum for math for all sites.
And a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 5-0. Next is item L, discussion approval of board policy on voluntary disenrollment.
So this policy gives us, the charter school, it really clears the way for us to dismiss or withdraw scholars who are not following school policy. Basing its ability to do so on a court decision that was made, and I believe Dr. Foreman, 2013, which basically says, unlike a district school, charter schools are a school of choice. And if a scholar is removed from a charter school, we're not denying them faith because they can matriculate right back into the district they came from. And so this policy would allow us to dismiss. There are some rules there. There's some due process. There's some checks and balances there. There's neutral administrator, et cetera, to make sure that we're not being unjust. But it allows an administrator to dismiss a scholar if they're not if they're not following our policies, whether it's the press code, whether it's plagiarism, whether it, consistently plagiarized, et cetera. It's different than a suspension or expulsion, because when a scholar is suspended or expelled, there's ramifications, there's a ripple effect in wherever they go after. They go to the district school, that expulsion follows them at the suspension level. This doesn't harm them in any way. But all it does is dismiss them from our school. There is no discipline in the system. They just go right back. They go back to their district school or, they came from. So we're recommending the board pass this policy and give us the power, if you will, to dismiss scholars when needed. Of course, the policy is already approved.
Right away, what comes to mind for me is behavioral issues. Would this apply to ongoing disruptions?
That's a really good question. This policy says very specifically any activity or behavior that disrupts the ability to of the classroom, the instruction. It's bullet point corner. I will say this, if we have scholars who are engaging in illegal activity or anything that's in our current discipline policy, if they're selling illegal materials or if they're bringing weapons, whatever, we will use the suspension expulsion route because we want that to stay effective when they leave. But for things that are not outlined already in the discipline code, that's what this policy would be used for.
So you worked closely with legal counsel and John West adopting that.
We did. Actually, Dr. Foreman initiated it after we were meeting with principals, and we drafted it with our legal counsel. Pretty closely, several maps.
If you have a comment on this from the audience, you need to fill out a blue speaker card. All right. Motion.
I'll make a motion to approve. Okay, lost track of everything. The involuntary disenrollment board policy.
I'll second.
That one should be second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not passed by zero. Next item is discussion of approval of resolution by the trustees declaring the official intent of John Adams Academies to reimburse itself from the proceeds of debt for capital expenditures, certain preliminary expenditures and costs of issuance temporarily funded from revenues or other sources related to John Adams Academy in Roseville. So this is in the event that there's a bond financing, we can reimburse ourselves for the cost of that financing.
That was mouthful.
Yeah.
You have to repeat that when you, I'll make a proposal to, all right.
I'll do it if we can get a better rate on them. Any questions? Not do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the before stated resolution.
I'll second the motion.
And motion in the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. That passed 5-0. Next item is acceptance of resignation of executive director.
Joseph Benson has been the executive director for 9 years, 9.5 years. There is no amount of depth of gratitude I could express. He has served honorably and thankfully in so many ways. Tonight, he's still representing the school at a city meeting for Roseville, and he's working tonight and already has a full schedule for tomorrow. I've been very grateful for the opportunity to work with him. I've learned much from him. He's a tremendous leader.
So this will be effective as of the end of tomorrow?
Or the day tomorrow.
Yeah. I'd also like to express appreciation for, he's a person that takes things as a stewardship. He owns it. He gets up early. There aren't too many people that email me at 5 a.m. when I get up, but he's one of them. It's not unusual for him to email me at 9 or 10 p.m. either, because I'm one of those too. And I thank him for all he's done to help us, and especially as it pertained to matters related to legal things and so forth. Anyway, it's with appreciation that we accept that resignation.
I second that. I'm not sure we would have two other schools beside, I'm not sure we'd have Lincoln or El Dorado Hills without him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really his marching orders, I guess, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
Open more schools. And it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
On his behalf, for sure.
Thank you. So, do I have a motion to accept the resignation?
I'll make a motion to accept the letter of resignation from Executive Director Joseph Benson.
I will second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That acceptance was accepted 5-0. Next item is a discussion of possible action on IT support services agreement with Advanced Solutions.
This last item, they have a hand out to the general, Advanced Solutions has been with us as long as I've been with us. I don't know when you started. Sean said, yeah. I don't know when you started, Sean.
We started at the beginning.
Yeah, the very beginning. Okay.
I can even tell you the exact time I'm
sorry. And their service is exceptional. The staff that they hire is exceptional. They're kind, they're polite, they're quick to respond. They're knowledgeable. And they've always been very transparent and honest in speaking, you guys are doing this wrong, this is how you need to do it, or hey, this is coming down the pipe, be ready for it. And we appreciate that. I asked the principals earlier this year, how are they doing? And they only get rave reviews from our principals. All the principals are very, very grateful for them. With the new reorganization that we have in the last 3 to 4 months, we've deregulated a lot of the decisions that were made at the central office, and they're now being moved down to the principal's level. And so with that, we used to have a system where Advanced Solutions would provide all their hours to a district level personnel that could review that knew what was going on. We're kind of stepping out of that where we don't have that ability now, and the principals are going to step up and start taking more responsibility on what's getting done. What we're asking for this year is to basically take Advanced Solutions, put them on a monthly, and basically we'd like to average out the expenses they would from an hourly. We'd like to do a flat rate fee, and for 1 year, this would start in January. And just let them continue to give us the excellent service that we're used to for this year. And in the coming year, it gives us a chance to really talk to the principals. We have formed an intercampus IT committee. That intercampus IT committee has been charged to look at all protocols, security, all policy, and decisions like contracts and IT decisions coming down the pipe. It's an intercampus committee. They meet, they'll make recommendations to the superintendent's cabinet. And so this gives them a chance as well to look at this contract and to determine what our needs is moving forward. I suspect next year there may be, we'll either renew the same or we'll be looking at what part of the services are global that the superintendent's cabinet would basically supervise, what parts are site-specific that the principals would supervise. There may be some change there. But at this moment, I recommend that we keep their service as is for a year. I have before you the hours that they would submit for August, October, November. You'll see on the left, this is what we pay at our current hourly rate. On the right is our projected flat fee. That's not 100% yet accurate because we didn't plug in the P2 attendance data. And I'm asking if you accept this, there's still some fine tuning of the contract that needs to be developed that you would give me the authority to move forward to finalize negotiations with Sean Gallagher, the owner, and we could get that complete and play tomorrow. That's Mary Clash. But questions, Sean's here to represent Advanced Solutions. He can answer questions you may have. I also know Troy is here. He's my first and go-to, and I appreciate all that he does, and myself, if you have any questions.
I sent something earlier to everyone today. I don't know, Sean, if you wanted to mention to the board some of the things that they may not be aware of, because I think sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and I think it'd be good for them to know. And, you know, like it's pointed out, I was fortunate enough to meet Sean early on and at a parent meeting, and I was happy that he was there, because when you're starting a new school, you need to have a worthy and reliable partner that could help out in this area. And it's certainly become a very steady and sturdy partnership. So thank you.
Is there any question? I'll kind of tell you, you know, there's a lot of things that we do that people don't realize we do. We run all the phone systems, and we also end up in a situation where you run the security and all of the investigations and stuff like that that goes on. We work with law enforcement as well as staff members for investigations. We man all the cameras, and to be honest with you, this is kind of a different thing for IT. We do also other school districts and other schools and everything else. And usually those things are kind of, they piecemeal them out because one person can't do all those things. We're fully invested with Don Adams. Our intention with the contract is that we want to provide more service to you guys and not, you know, anything else. We want to make sure that you're getting the service that you guys deserve and you need, and that we can be a partner that ends up in a situation where we're pushing with you guys down the road and getting you guys correct and getting everything done. And that to me, when I looked at it, I said, this is because our roles have changed a little bit after reorganization. I looked at it and I said, this is, to me, I looked at it and I said, I want to make sure that we're not billing too much. And so my thought process is, let's flat rate it. It makes the most sense. And then, you know, if we revisit in a year or, you know, something along that line, then make sure that that's still correct. And it should be, in my opinion, because it's going to expand. Usually it's not going to contract. That's the thought process, obviously. And so that's kind of that's some of the things that we do. Outside of the normal IT stuff, we fix Chromebooks and everything above. So we do everything from fixing Chromebooks to doing investigations and everything in between. And that's kind of what we do. Is there any questions?
So is it flat fee, is it going to apply to online as well? Or is that just?
Yeah, I'm probably not the sharpest businessman. I should probably look that over. But my thought process is that, hey, I'm going to come in and provide as much service as possible. It includes that, the online, it includes the cafeteria, all of the others, the kitchen, the whole shebang. Just because I look at it and I go, you know, there's, I don't know, I guess I'm silly that way. I like the Academy and so much that I sit there and go, okay, we got to provide this level of service, and regardless of what happens, we're going to provide that level of service.
How do you feel about the decision that's been made to push responsibility in this decision-making and whatnot down to the individual principals?
I'm comfortable with it. They looked at the contract and looked at what was going on beforehand. So I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with the our level of service.
You think, I mean, did that make your job easier or harder or better?
It made it a little more technical, I guess, when you took, because we also have to, we put together the technical council. We also ended up in a situation where we had to bring these all together and then go in and start to look at policies and procedures and everything else. So, you know, the key thing is to make them independent, but make them cohesive with the plan. Because once you don't have a plan, especially in IT, it gets a little out of control. So that's the thought process. That's why you brought the council together. Because we felt that everyone, all of the campuses should be invested in the IT plan. And the way to invest people is to ask them questions and make sure that those questions are answered and that there's an agreement on them.
A little bit off topic, but where are we in terms of what I would call like deferred maintenance? Are we looking at a big bill anytime in the near future or?
Well, there's a couple things. Our thought process in this is that one of the things that we implemented a little bit ago, and I'm going to get probably the technical weeds here, is we implemented a policy of doing certain things with some of the hardware that's there. Like, for instance, the switches on the campuses, their expiration date is like 2130. So that basically we're never going to have to worry about paying for another switch, things like that. There is maintenance that go along with that. And there is, like, for instance, we're doing some maintenance with phone systems and stuff like that. But that's all encompassed in the cost. So we're not anticipating that possibly more or maybe less. It's going to be the same along with everything else.
Are all the phones voice over IP? Are they?
Yes.
Okay.
All of them are VoIP phones. And consequently, UK0 for the phone system. There's
I mean,
no cost
to the phone company because there's no phone company.
Well, there's a phone company, but I'm saying as for the cost of the phone system itself, you don't pay for it.
One thing that many may not be aware of, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago we started school. We had someone who tried to, from the Eastern Europe, that tried to hold us hostage. Can you just talk about that for a minute and why this is important as well?
So security is a major thing with the school. The target is anyone that has semi bombs. Okay. So that's mid-level companies, then that's schools, smaller school districts, that type of stuff. A few years ago, we had a ransomware breakout. It was about 2 or 3 days before school, and there was a reason for it. Fortunately, my staff ended up, they kicked the ransomware people out of the system within 20 minutes. We ended up that we recovered the, we had a site down for about 30 minutes. And we restored everything back to what it needed to be. And we opened up on time. The cost of that was, because I took the lead in finding out who did it and everything. The cost of that was they were planning on billing John Adams $203,000 to take back control of their systems. Fortunately for that, we didn't have to worry about that. We already had controls. And, you know, consequently, I've given a lot of speakers, a lot of, spoken a lot of forums and stuff like that about that level. And the good thing is they got a punch in the nose because they spent a lot of money to try and get there and they got nothing out of it. And that's the only way cybersecurity is going to work anywhere. Is whether they spend a whole bunch of money and they get nothing out of it. So they ended up with nothing out of it. John Adams opened on time. And we ran around for probably 3 or 4 days, just constant, to make sure that everything was good, kick everyone out of the system, and everything else. So we do that. Certain things that happen on security is that we've caught 0 day. Something they call 0 day viruses and stuff like that, which are viruses that no one knows. So we've ended up in a situation where we've gotten those type of things out in the system. And we kind of safeguard the system when it comes to cybersecurity.
Well, I can add, if I recall correctly, I think that attack happened like 2 or 3 in the morning. And the reason you got it in 20 minutes was because your staff is still working.
That was part of it. Yeah. Yeah. We have a tendency to work a lot. And we're a lot of times we're the people there at 6 in the morning and people that leave at 10 at night. My staff never complains, which they're great people. Anyone that's ever interacted with them know they're great people. And they're there to serve John Adams. And they basically are the glue a lot of times that holds things together. They're very gloomy people. Is there any other questions?
Thank you. All right, I have a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the IT support services agreement with Advanced Solutions. And authorize the superintendent or designee to finalize negotiations. Team. Final legal review and to make non-substantive revisions as needed and execute. Agreement.
I need that motion.
Motion is second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carried 5-0. Thank you. Next is board initiated business. Any board initiated business at this time? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Yeah, hope you enjoy your wonderful holiday season. Season of life and hope. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. I know this meeting had a lot of things on it, but we appreciate everybody hanging in there with us. Next meeting will be January 15th, 4 p.m. Open session at 5 p.m. We have a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
I read this paper. Submitted comments, but we were delayed because of 2 hours of traffic. And our comments have to do with imminent harm of a scholar. So we would have to be heard before the adjournment.
Yeah.
And I indicated that on my part.
I withdraw my motion to adjourn.
Do we have the timer writing?
Okay. My apologies, but the timer on the computer isn't working, but yes, we do.
Okay.
Timer writing.
First is Doyle Renner.
Well, I wish I was here on a rah-rah moment, but I'm not. I'm here to advocate for my daughter, Israel Renner, who has experienced medical harm at a John Adams Academy in Aurora Hills. And but before I get into that, I'm a little emotional. I'm so passionate. I appreciate John Adams. The idea of John Adams, I love it. The 10 core values, being a Christian, I live by those 10 core values. There is the aspect of walk the walk and talk the talk that needs to be dealt with also. My contention that the things that plague our country most are feckless pulpits, not taking their role as the first born, and our education system. John Adams has attempted to fill that role, and I appreciate that because there is a major void in our education system. We had something occur at the John Adams Eldora Hills thing. At the beginning, it seemed like this is a no-brainer, five-minute deal. This should be taken care of, and it wasn't. And I'm sure there's been a lot of meetings behind closed doors and among staff and stuff like that that have all been one-sided. Proverbs 17, the one who states his case first seems to be right.
Thank you. So you can wrap up your comments and then we'll move to the next one.
Until the other comes to examine him. I'm going to restate that again. The one who states his case first seems to be right until the other comes to examine him. And that's, was that 3 minutes?
It's 2 minutes.
Oh.
That's what's on here. Yeah, thank you, Doyle, for being here and for your comments. Sorry that you were withheld by the traffic. Next is Sarah Renner.
I request extended time due to the imminent harm of my daughter, and I'm going to be providing medical information, which is confidential, that we would like the board to look at due to the severity of the situation. Can I get the board to consider a motion for that?
No,
it will
actually,
it will not be over 5 minutes.
No, this was not identified as an item that was on the agenda. You're speaking to something that's not on the agenda. That's why you have 2 minutes.
I understand that that's your general policy, but I, again,
it's the Brown Act policy.
It's individual by board to board.
It's the Brown Act policy.
You can
take
so.
Your 2 minutes now, and if you have information, please leave it with our superintendent. We'd be glad to look at it.
These are confidential documents, and I've had to bring them to the board because I've been ignored for a year and a half. I'm Sarah Renner. I'm a parent of a scholar and a former teacher. We have come before the board to request remedy to ongoing medical harm of our daughter due to disability discrimination, retaliation, and harassment. Despite providing medical notes from physicians, only some of them are there. We provide more than that. To have our daughter accommodated at John Adams Academy, they have refused to comply with disability accommodations, resulting in stroke-related vision loss. And letters from physicians have been ignored. As you can see from those pictures, there was extreme reaction of dermatitis, which was visible during the harm and was still disregarded. Due to my demotion after reporting these incidents, I was also inhibited from getting, they refused to give the date of the termination of my medical care, which impeded the access to medical care of my daughter, even though that was discussed by email. The doctors are now monitoring my daughter for functional vision loss due to extreme stress. That was disclosed, and then staff retaliated when that was disclosed to them. Also, that she's being monitored for ocular inflammation, which can cause permanent vision loss, and retinal detachment. And those are ongoing episodes. I've sent over 100 emails on this matter, so this has been extensively notified to staff. It's across all campuses. I've also provided information. I'd like to thank just regarding Joseph Benson. He impeded my request, which is also made to you.
You need to wrap it up.
I understand.
We're
I
done
requested
with the meeting.
For you to do a seat.
We're done with the meeting.
And it was denied.
Being here tonight, but we're
Benson
done with the meeting.
Was involved in the
thank
refusal.
You.
And
do I have a motion
there's
to
documentation about his involvement from the meeting.
Thank you. A motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second motion. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. That carried 5-0.